It's a privilege to be here with you this morning. As a treasurer, not too many treasurers like being in front of people. I went into accounting thinking that I'll be put in the back room, I'll do my job, be an accountant, manage the money, and everyone's going to be happy. But then the Lord said, it's time for you to do something a little different.
Amen.
And but you know, it's really the praise of the Lord, and it's through the Lord that we're able to do the things that God has given us. No one should take any credit for anything that happens, but to give praise to the Lord.
Amen.
We can't boast for anything because everything is really the Lord's. And I appreciate the Lord giving me an opportunity to be serving with you in this conference and to serve with Pastor Neary here in the Nevada-Utah Conference. I want to share a little bit about statistics. Few of you probably have taken statistics. Many of us groaned through it. However, I wanted to share a little bit about your church finances. I'm sure you may know some of it, but I thought this is very interesting. You may know that you submitted tithe from this church of over $700,000. That is a huge blessing. And the people that really need to be thanked are you. Because without you, I can't manage any money. Which means I would not be effective. So thank you. And as far as your church membership, sitting on December 31st of this last year, you're at 500 members. Now with that membership and with the tithe, this church submits more tithe than any other church in this conference. Even though you are the fourth largest church as far as membership. So praise the Lord. And thank you. The last item I wanted to share with you, you know that every third Sabbath you have a bulletin insert. And every fourth Sabbath we have a conference advance offering. That conference advance offering goes for 50% for evangelism. That helps your pastor and helps your church in evangelistic meetings as far as finances. 25% of that money that comes in from conference advance goes towards education. And the last 25% goes for capital improvements around this conference. To date, we received $81,000 through the end of December. If you look at it a year ago, we received $61,000, which that was approximately 32% increase over last year. And if you look at 2 years, we almost doubled it. So thank you. And what you are doing is you are allowing funds or resources to be used to reach people around this and other parts of the Nevada-Utah Conference. We can't do it by ourselves. No one church can do it by themselves. We have to work together as a sisterhood of churches. And together, we're ready for the Lord's coming. I want to share with you a little bit about the conference statistics now. Currently, our membership is at 9,376. 9,376. That's amazing. This conference is growing. We were, before I came in 2010, yes, February 2010, we had under 9,000, and according to the stats of the GC and NAD, we were a small conference. When we reached a 9,000 level, we become a medium-sized conference, so praise the Lord that we are growing. Our tithe for the conference came in at $6,426,000. That was a 2.95% increase over last year. Now, with this economy, can we not praise the Lord for that? And again, thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord, because He is doing great things in this conference. I also want to thank the president, because as Secretary Treasurer, I have to look at the president for direction. And President Larry Understeer has been a great leader for this conference. And I want to thank him for his leadership, because without his leadership, I and the rest of our team would not be effective. So pray for him. We are looking for pastors around this conference to fill spots, and I ask that you solicit or lift up Larry, President Larry Understeer, in your prayers to find people that love Jesus and that want to share the good news. Today's sermon is Steward, Measure Yourself. But before that, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity that I can share what you have blessed me with, the gifts that you have given me. Now, Lord, please use this vessel that your name may be praised. Amen. Okay. Question for you this morning. Are you an owner or a steward? From the Bible's beginning, God gave dominion to Adam and Eve. It was an awesome responsibility. Can you imagine naming all of the animals, all of the insects, all the plants and the trees, all the fish in the sea? That is amazing. What a responsibility did Adam have? He also named Eve, which that's a big responsibility. So the questions that I have for you this morning, what is the meaning of stewardship? Why is it so important for us? What is our responsibility in this? How will it affect us in the end? According to the Webster Dictionary, a steward is one who manages another finances or property. Pretty simple. If we read, Jesus is talking with his disciples and referencing to Luke 16:1. And it says, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. An accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him in and he said to him, "What is this that I hear? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward." Then the steward said to himself, "What should I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg." I have resolved what to do. That when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their house. Kind of interesting. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him. And he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil." So he said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" So he said, 100 measures of wheat." So he said, "Take your bill and write 80. And verse 10, it says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much." Do you believe this steward that Jesus is talking about was a good steward? Just giving up the resources? Probably not. Most of us don't need a steward to take care of our belongings. However, if we had 10 houses, 20 cars, 15 trucks, 7 yachts, 750 acres, 500 head of cattle, 3 swimming pools, and 1 oil field, you would think that you would need a few men to manage your estate. The question is, are you a steward? You may say, I'm an owner, not a steward. I do not take care of someone else's property. I own and take care of my own clothes, car, and other important possessions. So who is the real owner? So you save up your money and you plan to buy some land or a car or maybe a suit or a dress. Upon buying it, is it yours? Do you own it? Is it yours because you bought it? As a Christian, we are to surrender ourselves to Jesus. Are we surrendering it all? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 state, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Wherefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. If God bought you, are you not God's? You are God's possession, as well as all that you have and manage. God paid a great price for you. What price did he pay? Please turn with me to 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as a lamb without blemish or spot. The Bible says in in 14:8, that we are the Lord's. We are the Lord's. Therefore, everyone that believes in Jesus can say, I am the Lord's. I belong to him. He belongs to me. He is my Lord, my master, and my owner. If God is the owner, then this means that we are the steward. We need to be careful of those things that God has blessed us with. We are responsible as a manager to be prudent, to not waste those things that are very valuable to God. What is the one thing God is looking for in a steward? It says in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, that it is required in a steward that one be found, what? Faithful. Faithful. Could it be using what God has given us for his purpose to be shared with others? Could this be considered a return on investment? And you know what a return on investment is. Say you have $100 and you bring it to the bank. And I know today interest is not very high. However, you get interest, right? That is your return on investment. The principal is still yours as the owner. But that interest is the return on investment. Our possessions are really God's. If we're not more careful with these belongings, what is the Lord going to do with them? When we borrow something, do we not want to bring it back the same as good condition as when we received it? The more we give to God's service, the more he returns to you. And I can tell you that many of us can attest to that. Please turn with me to Matthew 25:14. You remember the parable of the talents. Matthew 25:14. The traveler gave his servant talents, to each according to his ability. Did you get that? To each according to his ability. Therefore, that the Lord knows what each of you needs, and he has given it to you for a reason. There were three servants in total. One, he gave five talents. The second two, and the last one. The first two servants doubled their talents, and the third went and dug it in the ground and hid the Lord's money. The first two used their talents by investing it wisely, whereas the third disregarded the traveler's talents and misused it, that which should have been invested in at least to earn or gain interest. There was no return on investment. And what is not used is taken away. Prudence and faithfulness was considered by the traveler. Story of two men flying, and they crashed into an island. They both lived, however. But after brushing themselves off, the first one decided, I'm going to go check out the island to see if it's inhabited. So he started running around the island. He came back, and he exhausted, and he's like, to this other guy, he's like, there's no one here. There's no water. There's no food. This island is inhabited. So the second guy, he just looked at him and he said, that's okay. I make $250,000 a week. Kind of confused by that answer, the second guy is like, well, maybe you didn't hear me. There's no water, there's no food, there's no one here. We're going to die. The guy looked and he's like, No, I make $250,000 a week. First guy was very frustrated by this. He was thinking, what's wrong with this guy? He probably got hit too hard in the head or something. He's like, we're going to die. This is the last place, and we're going to die a slow death. Unfazed by the comments of the first gentleman, he said, no. He said, I give $250,000 per week. I earn $250,000 per week. I tithe. My pastor will find me. You know, many of you know where tithe goes. However, I wanted to share this opportunity with you. Where, when you put the money in the plate, where does that money go? So I wanted to share with you that when we receive it from the church, and as you know, the church does not take any of that tithe for your operation. 100% of that tithe that you give goes to the conference. When that money comes into the conference, that money is split up in a number of areas. 10.6% goes to the NAD for retirement. And what this does, this pays for all of the workers, the pastors and teachers and office staff, to manage the operation, to share the gospel. 16% of this money goes to the GC and the NAD for operations, projects, and materials. 9% goes to the Pacific Union Conference, which is, we're in the Nevada-Utah Conference, and the Pacific Union has five other conferences within this union. Goes for operations, for projects, and ministries. 4.4% goes for higher education. These are universities and our colleges. And they also go for special projects. The last approximately 60% stays in the Nevada-Utah Conference for our operations, to pay for our pastors and our teachers, which for the teachers it's only 30%, and our office staff. It also helps manage our operation, our ministries, and those things to keep the operation sustainable. So why do we give tithe, and who is asking? Our Heavenly Father has asked us to be faithful and return a tenth to Him. He wants us to be faithful and willing to trust in Him. Tithe is also an acknowledgement that He is our God and our Creator. And I can attest to you that when we are faithful to the Lord, He will bless us. All things point to the Creator. Now, really quick, I need a volunteer. Would you be willing to stand?
Sure.
Kind of a volunteer.
Sure.
You want to take this? Let me ask you a question. So where did you get that that jacket?
From JCPenney's.
From JCPenney, okay. So where did JCPenney get that?
From the company.
From the company.
From the company.
Okay, you're going to have to speak up.
From the company?
Okay, from a company. So where did that company get it?
China.
So it would be like a manufacturer, right? China would be one place. Very good. So where did China get their product from? The manufacturer. Where did the manufacturer get their product from?
Some local company that makes clothing.
How about the farmer?
The farmer.
The farmer. Okay. So the farmer had to grow like cotton or something like that.
Right.
Or, I don't know, polyester, right? Plastic, I don't know. So the farmer had to grow this. So where did the farmer get it from?
Plants.
From the plants, okay. And what are the plants growing in?
The earth, soil.
Soil. And where did the soil come from?
I'm just going to say God.
Good answer. Oh, you probably wanted that off. Okay. Exactly. So everything points to God. No matter what it is, it points to God. So we can honor Him in what we have, who we are, and what we do. Leviticus 27:30 says, He requests His holy tithe to be returned to Him. He wants that retained earnings. Let me ask you this. You have $1,000, and you want to invest it, right? So you go to two banks, or three banks, and you say, okay, I want a return on my investment. One bank is only giving 1% for argument's sake, okay? 1%. That's 10 times what they're giving now, or 100 times. And then another bank, for some reason, they really want your money. They're giving you 10% on the money that you deposit in the bank. Now, which one would you give to? Which one would you put your money into? The one with 10%, right? Ah. So let me ask you this. If the Lord wants our prudence, and the Lord, you know, He's smart. You know, He tells us that man's knowledge is foolishness. The Lord gives us our talents, right? He wants a return on our investment. Now, what if He gets a return that is faithful? What is the Lord going to do? What's the Lord going to do? He's going to give you more. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Ellen White stated in the book Last Day Events from Testimonies for the Church, Volume 9, the tithe is sacred, reserved by God for Himself. Now, what does that mean, for Himself? That means that we do not have any reason what to do, any make any decisions, for instance, on what we should do with that money. Correct? If it's God's and it's for Himself, there's no decision that we have to make on that. That goes directly to Him. It is to be brought to the treasury, to be used to sustain the gospel laborers in their work. God wants this tithe to be the best, the first fruit. You know, it's interesting how when God created this earth and he made Adam and he said, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. To be fruitful, those words are very significant. And he wants us to give it out of appreciation for what he has done for us. And if we look at our own lives, look, our life, our strength, you know, our skill, time, talents, our health, opportunities and means. It's amazing how the Lord blesses us. So, what is the promise when we are faithful to the Lord? Turn with me to Malachi 3:10. And it's kind of amazing that what was read for Scripture was this verse as well. Malachi 3:10 states it well. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Now here's the promise. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, can you imagine not having enough places to put what the Lord blesses you with? Now, and this is not a promise that we should take lightly. When we're faithful, the Lord will bless us. It's not if, it's not may, could. The Lord said, I will bless you. But you have to be faithful. And He wants that return on investment. He wants to see your commitment. He wants to see a relationship with you. You know that the Bible has over 2,000 references of money. Could it be that the Lord knew how important money would be in society? How important it is in our own life? A lot of us, we think about it a lot. When we want to go to the store, we want to buy something. What does it take? Money or bartering. But it takes another item, right? Had to get that stuff from somewhere. So basically, here it is. Proverbs 3:9 states it well. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. What a promise. What an amazing promise. I want to share something with you. How many of you have a personal finance budget for your home? May I see the hands? No, raise them up high. I want to see them. Okay, that's pretty good. I'm impressed. A lot of people don't have this personal finance, this budget that manages their home finances. It is critical that you have something like this because this helps you see on paper how your money is being used. Now, I just graduated and got my MBA, and I can tell you that it's a war zone out there. People, MBAs, Masters of Business Administration, they are employed to figure out how to get the money that's in your pocket for their company. They design a lot of metrics and a lot of things and a lot of scenarios to be able to get your money. They don't want you to think about it. They want you to act fast. When you act fast, what happens? Could it be that you're not making the wisest choice? They're trying to get you at your weakest point. Now, please understand that companies need to make money, and they're always looking at ways to make their products better. But please understand that you need to be prudent to know how your money that you get on a weekly or every second week or on a monthly gets used over that month, right? You want to make sure that your expenses are not more than the income that comes in. Pretty standard. Okay. So I'm going to share with you a little example here. First part of your budget, one of the most expensive things in your budget is your mortgage or possibly rent. For every 10%, one apple is 10%. So how many think your finances, or what percentage of your finances is your mortgage? What percentage? 30? Wow, that is awesome. Yes, you're right. 30%. So that's three apples. Okay? Now let's talk about the taxes or insurance or utilities. You know, these are fixed costs. You have them every month. They don't go away. What's the percentage of that of your budget per month? 10? A little higher. It's about 20%. Okay? So that's another, two apples, right? Okay, so that makes 50% of your earnings goes for managing your house and the utilities. That's a lot of money. Oh, and by the way, that's one of the reasons why the whole market kind of crashed is because starting in around 2005, the mortgage companies, they weren't asking based on a metric of how much money you make. They asked you, how much money do you want? That's a problem. They've changed their ways a little bit, and that's kind of stabilizing things for now. Okay. So let's go to the next step. Well, you have to get to work, right, to earn the income in order to pay your bills. So you have a vehicle, so that costs you money for like insurance and gas, and probably have a payment on your vehicle, and you have maintenance. So what percentage is that? How about 10%? Another apple. So how many apples do we have now? Six. So that's 60%. Okay. Now, how about food, clothing, medical, merchandise? Keep you going. What percentage is that? I heard 20%. You're right. 20%. Okay, so that's another two apples. So what do we have now? Eight. Okay, so we have eight apples. That's 80% of your finances goes for four areas. It's pretty amazing. Okay, now let's say you really work hard and, you know, you deserve a vacation, right? You know, you spend all that time at work and you just need some time off. So you want to go on vacation. So you're going to do another 10%. Okay? Last thing is, well, you know, you have a lot of credit card debt. You know, school loans, they're expensive. That takes a chunk out of your finances, doesn't it? Another 10%. Okay, so help me out. What's wrong with this picture? Thank you. No tithe. So all your money went, and you had nothing to give to the Lord. Okay. So that's most of the people in this world. Good. So you you decide that you want to make a change. You're convicted that tithe is very important to you. But you don't know how it's all going to play out, right? So you decided, okay, let's go through my finances. Let's see if we can cut anything. So we go and look at our mortgage, and we're like, nope, can't change that. That's pretty much fixed, right? Unless you're in a variable. Yeah, that's going to stay for a while. Okay, that's three apples. That's good. So then taxes and insurance and utilities, that's pretty much fixed costs. Not going to do much with that, right? Could probably downsize a little bit, but you got your food. You're not going to do too much of that. Well, you get down to like vacation, you're like, well, maybe I can do less of a vacation. You know, I don't need a vacation. I really would want it, but it's not something that's sustainable for my life. It does help, though. So let's say for this example that this one apple here is 5%. Okay? Credit card debt you still have. So you got 5% left. So, good apple, by the way. So you're like, okay, I'm going to give 5% to the Lord. Now let me ask you, do you want this apple? Would you like this apple? That's what we're doing. Okay, so now, third scenario, you've read the Bible. You're convicted that the Lord is the owner of all. He owns everything you have. All your skills, all the money in the bank, He owns 100%. But He'll give you 90%. He'll let you use 90%. 10% left, so you're committed to giving 10% right off the start. What did the Bible say? The first fruits does He want? Okay. So you're looking at this, and you're looking at your finances, right? And you're saying, okay, this is good. We're going to look through our budget, and we're going to see how the Lord is going to bless. So you look, and you're saying, okay, 10% for the Lord, some offerings. And then we have the mortgage, and you decide, you know what, I don't need such a big house. I can go for a smaller house and have a smaller mortgage because I'm committed to the Lord. Well, utilities are a little bit less, and you have a little more money there, so that's good. And you look at your diet, and you look at things around you, and you're like, well, you know, I don't need some of that merchandise. I can eat simpler foods. I can, you know, not go out so much. And you say, okay, save a little bit there. You look, and you're like, you know, I still have debt, so I may, you know, just take a small vacation, something that's not going to cost much. Still got the credit card debt, but you know what? The Lord's given you wisdom on how to manage that and how to start paying that off. You know, that credit card debt, it's a killer to your financial budget. And as you know, when you're looking at 15 or 11 or 20 or 30%, it hurts. But the Lord blesses you with managing some of these monies that you have now. When you get down to the end, you actually have money left over to invest, to save. It's called a return on investment. It's your retained earnings, or those earnings that you didn't use for your expenses that you have left over. I can attest to you that when you are faithful to the Lord and you give the Lord back the money, 100%, and you say, Lord, help me to manage your resources. It is amazing what He will do for you and for your family. He will stretch that dollar. He'll make that car go a lot longer. He'll limit your expenses on maintenance, on things that, you know, they come, and they come sometimes at the wrong time. And if you don't have any resources left over, retained earnings, it hurts. So it's important to consider that tithe is something that is very important to the Lord. Okay. Do you know why we are going to be kings and priests, stated in Revelation 1:6? Could it be that we were faithful stewards? When I was in Washington, there was a family that went to an evangelistic meeting and found there was a seminar on finances. And they were convicted of paying tithe. However, they went home and they looked at their finances and they said, "We can't do this. It's just not going to work." But they said, "You know what? We're going to do it." And so basically, they went and they paid the tithe and they were going through their expenses. A few days later, the wife was able to get another job, paid a lot more money. They were able not only to have enough money for the rest of their expenses, but they had some left over. Now, that's amazing. There are lots of stories like that. Try the Lord. See how faithful He is. Because I guarantee you that when you are faithful to the Lord, He will bless you beyond your understanding. Stewardship is also about stewardship of body. You know, many people think that stewardship is all about money. You know, and there's a couple fallacies out there. One being that treasurers love asking for money. I can tell you that that's probably the last thing that treasurers want to do is ask you for money. We're not in it for the money. We're in it just to manage the money. We like managing money. Here's another fallacy. Being in the conference office, I've seen many things, and you know, you have to be analytical as far as treasurers review financial statements, you know, make decisions. If one thing happens here, you have to adjust it over here. Because only so much money comes into the conference, and we're not going to go in debt, right? Wouldn't be wise. So there's this fallacy out there that says that when a church loses a pastor, the conference makes money or that has extra money. You probably heard that. That's the reason why the conference is not filling the position, because they're trying to save some money. That's not true. Unfortunately, what happens is when a church loses their pastor, the tithe goes down. It's pretty interesting. Why does the tithe go down? Are they giving because of the leadership, or are they giving because of God? It's kind of interesting. Let us not forget that we are not our own, that we were bought with an immeasurable price. And you know, I wanted to go back. When we look at our body and we look at how the Lord has blessed us with, you know, would it be wise and prudent for us to keep our body clean, to get 7 and 8 hours of sleep? How about getting plenty of exercise, brushing our teeth regularly, eating foods that keep the mind sharp, and avoid things that are harmful? You know, these are common sense. It makes sense, right? You know, if the Lord has given us this vessel to do His work, shouldn't we put things or do things to make our bodies at the optimum? Okay. How about stewardship of time? You know, God gives us 86,400 seconds to make a difference. Those seconds only come once. They're not replaceable. Once you use them, that's it. If you don't, you lose them. It's pretty important. Time is precious, is a very precious possession. If you look at Ephesians 5, turn with me to Ephesians 5:16. Wow. God tells us that we are to redeem the time. What does that mean, redeem the time? Take advantage of the time that God has given us. You know, when you have friends or relatives or family that die, you know, it hurts. But also gives a reality that time and life is very precious. So let's take that opportunity. Let's take that opportunity to love others, to do good, and give glory to God. Do not hesitate to praise the Lord all the time. You know, we listen to the news and it's all about, you know, problems and issues that are going on. Turn it off. Focus on Jesus. Praise the Lord and thank Him for all that He has blessed us. He is such a good God and He loves us and He wants to build a relationship with us. Have you considered the stewardship and the importance of the truth? We're Seventh-day Adventists. We're supposed to be a movement. We have a responsibility. Jesus is coming soon, right? What are we doing? We only have so much time. We know the Lord is coming. We're reading in the Bible. We've read Daniel, Revelation. It's time. It's really time for us to consider our responsibilities as agents of our living and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, our Heavenly Father has given us the Bible. It's the key to His heart. Jesus has given us His life so that we may have an eternal relationship with Him. Not a short relationship, but a relationship that will last for eternity. You know, you and I, we don't understand eternity. We understand 100 years, 120. The Great Commission has been given to us in James 28, 16 through 20. Teach all nations to observe all things. In other words, share the good news and what Jesus has done for us. He's coming soon. You have a part. God has a part. He wants your heart. Therefore, stewards, measure yourself that the Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ will find you faithful in all of His talents. Redeem the time because He's coming soon. I want to be in heaven soon. We need your help. The Lord needs your help. He has given you talents for His glory, not for yours. All that you have, it's not yours, it's His. Be responsible, be prudent. Acknowledge God for who He is and listen to Him. You know, where there's so much going on. But really, that Bible verse, be still and know that I am God. You know, we need to be still. We got media just pounding on us. I mean, we walk in the supermarket now. We got video, you know, we got TVs and things just watching and telling us what we need. What do we need? We need Jesus. But we have a responsibility to share it to the people in Las Vegas. There's a lot of people hurting in Las Vegas. Your neighbors are hurting. Go out. Observe. Find them. Let them know that Jesus loves them. It's our responsibility. And we know that Jesus is coming soon. Not much time is left. Let's redeem the time together. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your goodness and Your love. Thank You for Your mercies that You give us each moment, each second of our lives, each breath that we take. Help us to glorify You always and live a positive life that glorifies You. Thank You In Jesus' name, amen.